The election debate sparked your interest in the Assembly election, or was it a bit dull? The DUP leader, Arlene Foster, Sinn Féin's Martin McGuinness, SDLP leader, Colm Eastwood, David Ford, the Alliance leader, and the Ulster Unionist leader, Mike Nesbitt, all took part in the UTV debate. Topics ranged from abortion to the economy to the state of the health service. Professor Deirdre Heenan from the Ulster University is a political commentator. She was in the audience, going to speak to her shortly. But first, our political editor, Ken Reid, is available for a conversation. Morning, Ken.
Good morning, Frank.
Ken, you would have been watching it very closely. You were there last night on the news. You said it was important that no one dropped the ball. That would be what they'd be hoping not to do, to come out with a gaffe. It seemed to be tame enough, and I don't think any balls were dropped.
Yeah, I think probably it's an indication of the way our politics is going. And I think that rightly there'll be criticism that really they're down now dealing with bread and butter issues. The constitutional stuff is gone, but they really need to get down to the nitty-gritty. But you have to understand it's election tactics in place here, and all the parties realise that the problem with these debates is really you don't gain much generally, but you can certainly lose things. If you remember what happened to Cecil Walker some years ago in a debate in the Crumlin Road courthouse in an election campaign where he basically blew the North Belfast seat. Since then, I think everybody involved in these debates in the Northern Ireland parties has been very careful. Perhaps you could argue too careful.
And because they are overly cautious, those who might be tuning in to watch it all, who are, you know, considering maybe going back to Manchester United playing on the other side, is it going to win people across that you know, percentage of the public who don't have the interest in politics, who we would need to have an interest or to develop an interest in it if there's going to be more of a turnout on polling day?
Well, I think that there were aspects of the debate that actually were quite entertaining, the bit at the end when they're asked about who would play them in a film. And I thought there was actually the content was quite good. Whether people are interested in politics goes way beyond a debate on television. I think it's a bigger problem than that, and it's not a problem that's confined in Northern Ireland. Right across Europe, people are turned off politics at the moment. That is just a fact. And we are facing the realistic prospect that the turnout at the Assembly election, which is coming in 3 weeks' time, today, could be below 50%. And if you consider, if you go back to 2007, where it was in the mid-60s, and then 55% in 2011. If it goes beneath 50%, then there obviously is a problem communicating what's going on to the voters. Having said that, also the last 5 years of the Assembly, it's been constant rows, with 3 years of the Haas talks, the Stormont House Agreement, and then finally the Fresh Start Agreement, where there was an arrangement between the DUP and Sinn Féin. But really, very little had been happening at Stormont. It's perhaps only since December that there's been some sort of progress. So it's understandable that people are disillusioned with politics, and the task now for the politicians is to re-engage. One of the other positives, I have to say, that there are a number of new faces. This was Arlene Foster's first time in the debate as leader of the DUP, and Colm Eastwood, I would say Colm Eastwood would have a good night's sleep, because I thought he had a good debate.
Yeah, it's interesting. He did come across in a competent way. He looked well. He had that fancy hairstyle. He had all the things that maybe would have drawn your attention to a new young kid on the block. Mike Nesbitt, of course, had a slight advantage being a former television presenter. He seemed to be very smooth in what he was doing. I think David Ford and Martin McGuinness sounded exactly like David Ford and Martin McGuinness always sound. Were you surprised that Arlene Foster seemed to stumble right at the very beginning? Yes, competent for the rest of the presentation, but I actually thought, because I was just simply watching it at home, that she was using auto cue, and there was no auto cue there.
No, there was no auto cue. I mean, I think, understandably, she was nervous at the start, but I have to say, as the thing developed, she became more and more confident, and indeed, when the exchanges between her and Mike Nesbitt hotted up a bit, you could see the real Arlene Foster in action, and, you know, Arlene Foster is no fool, and her exchanges with Mike Nesbitt were robust, and perhaps, when you're on reflection, we maybe needed more of that.
Yes, because that's what they, that's really what the audience wants. But I have to say, in terms of winning people across to become interested in politics, you can't do much more than have it in the Lyric Theatre, have it very smoothly presented by someone like Mark, have the colour of the audience. It is all down to the politicians, and you know they're either embracing and engaging and charismatic, or they're not.
Yeah, well, that's the truth. But we are seeing a change. I mean, David Ford will step down as Justice Minister after the election. I would imagine that he will also step down as Alliance Party leader as well. So there will be another new leader coming in shortly. And you wonder how long Martin McGuinness is going to on. I would doubt whether he would do a full Assembly term. So actually, in the past term, we've seen a generational, the start of a generational change in our politics. And perhaps that's the way forward, new faces. But you see, we've all been brought up in constitutional politics about the actual status of Northern Ireland. We're moving on from that, and that's a new game in many ways. And if you look at some of the democracies across Europe, particularly in the Scandinavian countries, their politics are quite dull, but those countries are doing well. One of the things that occurred to me after last night, I think people would say it was generally a scored draw, but will there be more interest, perhaps, in the European referendum, which we know is coming up on June the 23rd? And the consequences of that referendum are huge as well. Perhaps that will re-engage people. And there's one other thing that I would put out as a ray of hope. Look back to the Scottish referendum and the turnout for that vote. It was in the high 80%. That shows that if you present the issues, and the issues are important enough, then people will turn out and vote.
Okay, Ken, thank you very much indeed. Ken Reid, our political editor. Every time we saw Mark on the screen, we saw Deirdre sitting behind him. Deirdre, how did you analyse it?
Hopefully well behaved, Frank.
You were. You never seemed to either smile or applaud or frown. You were a complete neutral.
A complete neutral. Well, I suppose overall it was quite a good-natured, if mundane, debate. None of the participants did anything to generate any momentum. There was no furniture broken, no real blows landed. And I suppose most will have done well enough to reassure their own party supporters, their own core vote, which is really what this is about. But I doubt anyone sitting at home would think, oh, I wasn't going to vote, but now I am going to vote. Or they're going to say, I was going to vote for A, but you know what? I'm going to vote for B. I don't think really any of those engagements would have happened.
I suppose we could have answered on their behalf sitting watching, and anyone who follows politics at all practically knew what the contributor was going to say.
Well, indeed. It was much less acrimonious than previous debates. They didn't really interrupt each other or heckle each other. They were repeating their own mantras. So, for example, Arling said on a number of occasions, I noted social media had counted it, she referred to her five-point plan. We had the usual jargon from each political party. But did we really learn anything? I don't know. I suppose on a more positive note, the debate was focused around those bread and butter issues. So for the first time, we're really talking about health, we're talking about education, we're talking about the economy. Having said that, each of the parties present motherhood and apple pie, more university places, more money for education, more money for health, taking health out of politics. Well, yes, of course, but how are you going to do it? Let's understand how you're going to deliver these things, because you can have all the strategies that you want. People at home are frustrated about a lack of delivery. They want to see things changing and things happening.
Yes, but can they deliver? As a commentator and an academic looking in on the politicians we have, Deirdre, can they deliver the very latest one, the 500 jobs for new teachers and the early exit scheme for the older teachers? That seemed to just need a rubber stamp put on it, and yet and all, they couldn't get that across the line.
Well, it's because education, for example, has become so politicised, where really I think many people are saying, before we run the hunt, people would like to see an agreed vision for education in Northern Ireland. We know we have far too many empty school seats. We have too many teacher training colleges. We are fixated in academic selection. Last night we were told, for example, that you know our education system is something to be proud of, referred to as a jewel in the crown. I'm sorry, but it isn't, and it cannot be if 40% of our young people are leaving school without GCSE, English and maths. That is actually a national disgrace. And I would like to see the parties coming together, regardless of who gets the portfolio, to say, this is how we're going to tackle this issue. You're not reinventing the wheel. Many other countries have had to deal with it and have successfully dealt with it. And I think that's what would engage the voters. People would say, well, regardless of their party politics, they want what's best for the people of Northern Ireland. In many ways, you looked at the politicians last night and they are comfortably numb, to borrow Pink Floyd's phrase. They're happy just to engage their own voters to ensure, as Ken has said, no major gaffes, that they don't do something they'll be ridiculed for. But there's no one reaching out there with passion and vision and saying, this is what Northern Ireland could look like. We have the ability. Let's work together to make it happen. I didn't hear any of that.
Yeah, did you see anything at all that would have drawn a viewer away from the Manchester United-West Ham FA Cup game on the other side?
Well, no, as a Manchester United supporter, that's a difficult one to answer. I suppose it was as we might have expected. Was there anything new? Not really. It's very difficult to pick something out. You would have said, oh, well, that's new, that's interesting. I mean, everyone said they wanted great things. I think what we need to move on to is saying, how are you going to deliver these things? We know there are huge issues in health. We know there are huge issues in education. And in many cases, this is not about more money. This is about how do we spend the money that we have? How do we make sure that there's efficiency? What I would have liked to have heard would have been a longer conversation about accountability. How can we hold our politicians to account? Where is the scrutiny?
You don't sound like someone who is overly impressed.
Well, to be honest, it is what it is. You can't expect maybe huge policy announcements because they're launching their manifestos. But it would have been nice to have more passion so that voters may have felt there was a reason to become engaged, to say, actually, we have a civic responsibility to vote. These people seem passionate. They seem to really want change. In many ways, a number of our politicians have become part of the political furniture. They're just almost wheeled out. They say what they have to say. You've heard it from them many times before. And I know a number of people were saying in social media, what then is the point of a debate like this when we're not going to hear anything new? But I think as the election campaign moves on, it will become more engaging and people will find their feet and realise that they have to develop positions of strength and unique positions of strength.
I'm old enough to remember the politicians coming in for debates in UTV where they stood in different corners of the room. They had to put their makeup on in different areas. They wouldn't even walk down the same corridor together. But you were there last night and I'm very aware that off camera the banter was good. The interaction between them was pretty positive.
It was, and they all seemed to get along swimmingly in the break, for example, and as you say, having a laugh together. But the reality is, really, this is about Sinn Féin and the DUP, because we know that they're going to be the two major parties after the election. They are the two blocks. It's what they say that matters. So in many ways, I think for people watching, we know it's going to be more of the same. They more or less know it's going to be more of the same. Perhaps what was slightly interesting is there has been some debate previously about Sinn or DUP being quite negative, saying, you know, you must vote for us to ensure that Sinn Féin are not the largest party. Arlene seemed to move away from that, I thought, last night and not want to be associated with that type of negativity. She did say that it was a joint office. However, symbolically, it was more important to be First Minister. And it was also more important because they would have the first pick of portfolios. But she didn't really focus on that sort of more negative position of saying, vote for us to keep the others out.
Do you think she's worried on that one?
No, I don't think so. I think she doesn't want to be associated with, because the media are saying that that is quite a negative vision for Northern Ireland. I mean, traditionally, Northern Ireland was associated with a high level of voter turnout, not to vote for someone, but to vote to keep someone else out. You would hope that we've moved away from that and people would be voting for the DUP because of their five-point plan, because they have a vision, because they want Northern Ireland to work.
Deirdre, good speaking to you. Thanks for coming on the programme. Thank you.
Not at all.
Deirdre Heenan, political commentator.